Do you know that man? Do you know the one who can make you as white as snow? Do you know the one who can heal any brokenness that you have in your heart? Do you know the one who can give you new life when you don't think new life is possible? And I know I do, and my hope is that each and every one of you know him as well. And our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, and I know in your bulletins it says we're going to go all the way to verse 15. We're actually going to hold off at verse 8. So we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8 from the Gospel of John, the third chapter. Let's take a look at it together. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." The Word of God for the people of God. About the end of my sophomore year in college, I changed majors, and I went from being a marketing major, which is something that I had planned to do since I was a junior in high school, and I changed to finance, and so that was a pretty big transition for me, but I knew it was what God wanted, and so I made that change, and I'll never forget, I went to my I'd had a finance class before, but never one that was kind of, you know, they call it upper level classes and upper division classes. And so I went into one of those, and I remember, you know, thinking my professor was pretty funny, had a good sense of humor until we had that first project. And, you know, I did my first project, and I did my documents and did my presentation and made my paper I turned in. I made it with all kinds of graphics and charts and color and just this, I thought, beautiful thing. And I gave it to him, and he took one look at it, and he took it and he threw it in the trash can. And he said, "If you want to play with crayons, go back to marketing. This is finance, and we deal with numbers." And I thought, wow, that is a big change, because you mind you, in marketing, what do? With everything, you want to make it attractive. Everything you do, you're trying to sell it. And he's like, the point he was trying to get across from me is when you're dealing with numbers, they're just numbers. And you can dress them up however you want to dress them up, but they're still the same thing. So don't bother. And so that was a big transition for me, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of doing things. I share that with you because that's the problem Nicodemus is having. Nicodemus comes to Jesus with one way of thinking, and Jesus is like, "No, your way of thinking is all wrong. And if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to change entirely. You have to change so much that you become a new creation, that you must be born again." And that's what we're looking at this morning from these words in the Gospel of John. And so here we've got in Nicodemus, we've got this guy who was, top-notch in his world. You know, it's hard for us to fathom because we don't live in a theocracy, the kind of power that Nicodemus had. Being on the ruling council, they kind of ran the country. I mean, they did everything. If they told the people to jump, the people said, "How high?" Whatever rulings they came down with, you saw their power. You see it in the Gospels. They have Christ crucified, even while under occupation from Rome. And so, that's the kind of power that this ruling council and the Sanhedrin and everybody has. And so here you've got Nicodemus, and he comes to Jesus at night, which is rather symbolic because he proves himself to not have a clue when it comes to this stuff. And that night is symbolic of ignorance. And so here he comes being ignorant of the very things that he wants to discuss. And he sees in Jesus someone who has something more than what he has himself. And so he sees that and he wants that. And so he's trying to figure out, how can I take who I am and get what Jesus has too? And so he's struggling with that. And that leads us to our first thought. And that is, the kingdom of God is valuable enough to interrupt a person's worldly mindset. The kingdom of God is valuable enough to interrupt a person's worldly mindset. Notice what Jesus does with them. This is a very unique encounter. Jesus doesn't even let Nicodemus ask a question. Look at the text again. Nicodemus comes to him, affirms that he's from God, that Jesus is from God, and before Nicodemus can ask a question, Jesus looks at him and says, unless a person be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. So before, while Nicodemus probably has this list of things that he wants to bring to Jesus, that he wants to know about Jesus, that he wants to find out all the answers to so he can take it unto himself, Jesus says, stop. Stop with that thinking. It will not work. I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones had to say about this. He said, that's what Christians need to do when we encounter worldly thinking out there in the lives of non-believers. We don't need to coddle it. We don't need to entertain it. We don't need to pretend like it's okay. We need to say, stop. That is wrong. That's not the way to think. That's not the way to consider it. There is only one way to be born again, and it's through Jesus Christ. There is only one way to come to God, and it's through the Father. There is no one who is good, not one, except God alone. And so when the world tries to tell us all these philosophies and all these teachings, what we see in Jesus is Jesus says, I don't have time for that. And he interrupts. And Jesus, he's not mean. He's not a jerk to Nicodemus. He just says, look, I know what you're coming to ask, but here's what you need to hear. Notice the difference? He's not spending his time trying to play this little back and forth like, you know, we see him sometimes do with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He sensed in Nicodemus something different than those guys. Nicodemus actually wanted to know about what Jesus had to say. You know, he's somebody who came actually interested rather than the rest of his cohorts who went around to persecute and to tear down Jesus. Nicodemus came to learn. And Jesus says to him, you're trying to learn all the wrong things. So let me interrupt you. Let me set you right. Unless you change completely, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God and you cannot experience the kingdom of God. You see, people today have become so convinced that their own cleverness and wisdom of their own cleverness and wisdom, and they have little desire for God. They don't think they need God. They don't think they need Christ. And it is the calling of every Christian to confront this deception. We need to help people understand how much they need Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. We can't change their hearts. I'm not asking you to do that. That is God's work alone. But we are called not to just sit around and be silent. Not to sit around when we hear all the vain philosophies and all the teachings of the world that have nothing to do with Christ, that are anti-Christ. We're not to just sit by and say, well, there's no hope for that person. Heaven forbid we do that. Heaven forbid that we're so quick to give up on people who maybe at just this right moment, if someone took the message of Jesus Christ and shared it with them, that their heart might be changed forever. I don't want to be that person who misses opportunities to tell people about Jesus because I'm afraid to, or because I'm afraid of how the world will work or rain against me or come down and push back. I want to be bold, and I want to be clear, and I want to share truth. You know, one time I was watching somebody who was about to take a golf swing. You're hearing a lot about golf this morning. And he was about to take a golf swing, and I noticed that he didn't see out in front of him that the people were a whole lot closer than he thought. And so I yelled in the middle of his backswing, stop! And he listened and he stopped. And at first he looked at me all mad. And I said, "Don't you see right there you're about to hit them?" And then he was like, "Oh, thank you so much." Who are the people in your life that you just need to yell, "Stop! Stop with that thinking. Stop with that perspective." That's going to lead you down a road that will ultimately lead in destruction. And so that's what Jesus is doing to Nicodemus. He looks at him and he says, "Let me interrupt you. You've got these one questions, but you're not asking the right ones. Unless someone be born again, unless they be born from above, quite literally, unless they have another birth, they can't see the kingdom of God. Here you're asking about stuff around the edges. Stop it. Let's get to the meat of the matter. Let's focus on what this is truly about." And that leads us to our second thought, that the kingdom of God is not something you simply attach to what you already have. The kingdom of God is not something you simply attach to what you already have. I promise this is my last illustration about golf, okay? I've told you, I'm not a good golfer. I don't have a good golf swing. If I ever want to be a good golfer, if I ever want to develop a good golf swing, you know what I have to do? I have to unlearn. I have to pretty much do away with the swing I have. I can't add to it. If I try and add new habits to my bad swing, it might make that bad swing just a hair better, but it'll never be. It can never be the kind of swing that it's meant to be. And what we find here with Nicodemus is he wants to add. I mean, he is, much like the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's somebody with power. He's somebody with status. He's somebody who has a clear purpose in his life. And he wants to take what Jesus has and add it to what he already has. And Jesus says, "No. Unless someone be born again, unless you lose all of that, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see the kingdom of heaven unless you come. Let go of all that. Christianity is not something you just attach to your everyday life." And that's a problem throughout the ages of Christianity and today. People want to take Christianity and just add it to their life. Like, I can be a Christian I'm a Christian just like I'm a businessman or a businesswoman, or I'm a Christian just like I'm a school teacher or a principal, whatever I might be, and just it's a little part of who you are. And Jesus is saying, "No, it's everything. It's everything to who you are. It's not something you just attach. It is something that you become, and you're a whole new person, and you have a whole new being, and you can't go back. You know, you can't go and be unborn again. You're born again. You're born anew. You have a whole nother birth with a whole nother system of values, a set of values, not a system, and a whole new relationship with Christ. And that's what he's inviting Nicodemus into. Nicodemus wants to build upon his worldly status. Jesus says, "No. I want you to build upon Christ and him alone." You see, when a person tries to mix Christianity with their worldly values and thinking, they invite trouble into their life. One thing that happens is you experience a divided heart. Think about that in the world today. The morality of this world, whether it's sexual sin, the way you deal with business, it doesn't matter what it is. Take everything across the board. The values of the world versus the values revealed in the kingdom of God through God's word, they are polar opposites. Sometimes they might triple over on each other when the world thinks it's in its best interest to deal with people in a godly way. But for the most part, they are polar opposites. And when you try and serve both, when you try and straddle the line, one minute you're serving the world, the next minute you're serving Christ, and you're going back and forth, and your heart is so divided and conflicted that you don't have a clue what to do. And that's what's happening in so many of our churches today, is people's hearts are just being ripped apart because they don't know who they're serving, why they're serving them, and they're just walking and they're struggling and they're trying to fit into the world and they want to be liked by the world, but they want to be obedient to Christ, and people's hearts are being so divided. And Jesus is like, "Stop it. You're either mine or you're not. You're either born from above or you're not. You either have a new birth or you don't." Like, you don't get both. And that's hard to hear. Another thing that happens is you remain trapped by your flesh. And this is so hard. When you try and dabble both with the worldly systems and then you try and live for Christ and follow Him, the very freedoms that you want to have from the fleshly desires and sins, you want to be set free from them, you don't find freedom there because there's no power there. Because you're trying to put a Band-Aid on a flesh wound. You're trying to do everything by your own power instead of bringing Christ into it. And so you're trapped in this fleshly thinking, in the worldly thinking, and instead of living in the power of God. And then also you remain incapable of spiritual thinking. You know, when you're trying to mix and just attach Christianity to who you already are, when you see somebody who's completely sold out for Christ, who's been born again, and they're living radical for Jesus, you look at their life and you're like, they're crazy. That's nuts. And it doesn't make sense because you that spiritual thinking, it's a step beyond what you're capable of. Because if Christianity is just a little bit of part of you and not all of you, then when people start being sold out for Jesus, well, they don't make very much sense to you. And so that's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. You can't just attach this. It's not going to make you a better Pharisee. It's not going to make you a better member of the, you know, ruling council. No. No, you've got to set all that aside. You know, here this week, I don't know if you saw on the news, but they're building a new building. They're about to begin it over at Vanderbilt University. And, you know, did anybody know what they did Saturday? They blew up one of the old buildings and had it come down. Why didn't they just build upon what they already had? Turn it into something new, turn it into something better. Because that's not how you build stuff. You can't build stuff that way. You have to tear down what's there and build up to that new building that you're called to do. Well, that's a part of this too. Nicodemus needed to be torn down. And why can't you build off of it? That leads us into our last thought. To see the kingdom of God, you need an entirely new start because what you are by nature is corrupt. That's an unpopular message today. What you are by nature is corrupt. You have a sinful fleshly nature that you were born with, and it's opposed to God. It doesn't really want to follow God, doesn't want to have anything to do with God. It wants to live for the world, in the world, be of the world, by the world, and it is very worldly and carnal in all of its being. And it's corrupt by nature. And Jesus is looking at Nicodemus saying, I can't work with that. You've got to be born from above. You've got to have a whole new birth if you want to walk with me. Because this carnal nature that's so corrupt, that has to die. Just like that building over at Vanderbilt University had to be torn down before they could build that new one up. We also must have another birth. You see, there is no replacement in Christianity for being born again. There's no other way. Jesus says it clear. He says it elsewhere. You must become like little children if you want to enter the kingdom of God. Not something you attach, because you can't attach that to who you are. What you are has to be torn down, and you need to be born all anew. You see, you cannot enter the kingdom of God without this new birth. Why? Because you must be cleansed of your natural nature. You know, sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, and that sin was passed down one generation to another. That sinful nature, it's real, it's there. To deny it means you would have to ignore reality. You would have to ignore God's word. You would have to just completely shut your eyes to the truth as revealed by God. And you have to be cleansed of that. Born of water. Cleansed. The old washed away. And then you also must be infused with a new spiritual nature. I love Ephesians, the second chapter, where we're told when a person's born again, the Holy Spirit comes as a seal upon your heart. You're infused with a new spiritual nature. You've heard me say it before. If you want to understand the Word of God, you need the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, look, I can get up here and teach all day long. You won't understand any of it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Period. Period. You might say, oh, that's clever. Oh, I agree with that. But it won't hit home with you. And it won't be applicable to your life without the aid of the Holy Spirit. And you'll always be living on someone else's teachings instead of your own discoveries in Christ. And that's the difference. And so you have to be infused with the new spiritual nature. You have a spirit, and that spirit, we call it regeneration. It's awoken. And now all of a sudden you have this new life and you see things in a whole different way. You don't see them through a worldly lens. You see them through a spiritual lens. And all of a sudden you look at the world and it is completely different. And in reality, on the outside, the world didn't change at all. But on the inside, you did. And that's the difference. Thirdly, you must trust Christ alone to accomplish this. And that's hard. Kenny Butcher cannot make Kenny Butcher be born again. I can't make it happen. I can't make anyone in this congregation be born again. That is the work of Christ. It's the leading and promptings of the Holy Spirit. This is where our faith comes in. This is where we profess in Christ alone. And so it's in Christ alone. He's the one who accomplishes it. And then that fourth thing, that last thing. You can definitively recognize it when it happens. You can recognize when it happens. You'll see it in yourself, and not only that, people will see it in you. And by the way, this doesn't just happen when you're born again. This happens anytime you learn new truths. When God awakens another part of you and all of a sudden you see a profound new truth and you start living in light of that truth, people look at you and you're like, what happened to you? I had friends in college and we kind of drifted apart, but because I kept growing closer to God and they wanted no part of God. And so I couldn't talk to them about the one Jesus Christ who was the most important in my life. All they wanted to talk about was girls, drugs, and drinking. And eventually, I'm like, I've got to find some people to spend time with who are as passionate about Jesus as I am. I've got to look somewhere, somehow, and find somebody who I can talk to, who I can pray with, who I can walk with. And they thought that was strange. But you know what? They could see the change in me. I could see the change in me. Do people see that change in you? Do they see that in your everyday life? Do they say, you know what, there's a little something different about them? I love it when I used to work at McDonald's, people would say, oh, you got a problem? Go talk to Kenny. He's a Christian. I could have taken that as an insult. I took it as a badge of honor. Yeah, come talk to me. I mean, they sent people who would just, one of them was being divorced, and here I am, 18 years old. Go talk to Kenny. He'll help you. I'm like, what do I know about marriage? I don't know a thing. But sure, come talk to me. I'll listen to the Holy Spirit and try and give you counsel. That's what I mean. People notice. People notice when you're living for Christ. And they're attracted to it. They don't even know why. They don't even know why they're attracted to it. Because they're attracted to who's in you. And they're desperate for Him. And so they come. That's new birth. And that's the invitation Jesus is given to Nicodemus when he interrupts him and he says, stop, here's what you need. And he invites him into that. Now, Nicodemus doesn't go along. I mean, you read the rest of the text and he doesn't have that come to Jesus moment, but we see the beginnings of that working in him. And my question is, have you had that experience? Can you definitively say that you've been born again? And it's my hope and my prayer that the answer is yes. That not only do you recognize it in your own life, but other people around you recognize it too. Let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, we We know that fundamental truth that unless someone be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to see the kingdom of God. We want to be born again. We want to know what it's like to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We want to know what it's like to live on your power rather than trying to muster up strength of our own. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage and the wisdom to walk in the Spirit and to walk towards you. You know our hearts this morning. You know our needs. May we say, I trust you, and in Christ alone, I am yours, and I will be faithful. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning, if God is stirring up something in your heart and you need to pray about it, come down to this altar and pray. Maybe you're here, and truth be told, you can't definitively say, yes, I've been born again. Yes, I once was lost, now I'm found. I have experienced that salvation. If you haven't experienced it, it's nothing ever to be ashamed of. Come down to this altar and pray. Come down to this altar and talk to Jesus Christ, because he is waiting to talk to you. He's ready for you to have that new birth. Maybe you're here and you've had the new birth, but you sense God stirring things in your heart, and you just need some time with him. You can pray at your pew. You can pray at the altar. And if you don't have anything on your heart, then let's worship and praise him, because he's worthy of it.